Nosen Fontenot's over here. Nosen, wave your hand. He's in the royal purple, the king's color there. All right. Nosen's right here. And let's see. We'll make our, Brandon's in the back here. All right. And Joshua's right here. And Mackenzie and Clint Good right here. And then Jason Bundick. And then myself. And that's why I'm wearing this Ugandan shirt this morning. I know this is the second time I've worn it. Last time I went to Uganda, I got it last time. So my wife said I needed to wear this. And my girls for Father's Day said, you're going to wear that? So, but they're going to make sure I'm in style. This morning, this is kind of an honor of being at Uganda. Well, we're going to first show a video that Brandon has put together, tried to condense our 10 days together in a video. It's difficult, and we appreciate Brandon's giftedness and his hard work, taking pictures, trying to work, juggling a lot of balls when we were gone. He did a great job with it. I'm not sure. I haven't seen this, so who knows? It could be incriminating evidence against some of our men in church on this video, okay? But we hope that it helps tell the story of what we were there doing. Hopefully it's honoring to God, helps you maybe feel that you were there in some ways. And each of these guys are going to come and share just a few minutes, some highlights for them and in Uganda. We'll start with Nosen, and then I'll go to Jason, Clint, Brandon, and Joshua. So enjoy the video. Enjoy as these guys share what God has taught them or something was a highlight to them while we're in Uganda.
Hi, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Nosen Fontenot. And good job, Brandon. I could almost smell the goats and the chickens. Man, first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for affording me that opportunity to go on that trip. It was educational. It was an experience. And it was a blessing, although I didn't see it that way at the time. I've always traveled a lot with my wife. That was the first time I've been gone, especially on the other side of the world without her. It made me realize how blessed I am to have her, my wife Terry, and I missed her very much. I'd never been homesick like that before, and I also missed my children very much, and was glad the Lord brought us home safely. There was so much that happened. It was like I haven't even begun to process it all because we were still jet lagged 3 days afterwards. But what I saw was they didn't have a lot of the gadgets and things that we have, a lot of the modern conveniences, and that's something I left out. I always wanted to go on a foreign mission trip, and I wanted to go on my terms. So I thought, the Lord would break me in slow and bring me someplace like Mexico, and I'd get to serve the way I wanted to. But that's not the way He works. The first thing you got to do is you take that little card you got that says I'm an American and I'm entitled to conveniences and comforts, and you leave that thing at home because it doesn't work over there. But that's a good thing because that's how you get stretched and that's how you get grown. And got to learn a little bit about the men I went with. They got to learn a little bit about me. The people over there were very loving. The smiles you saw, briefly, we saw those all day long. They were so happy to see us. They treated us like kings, like we were royalty. I saw a love for the Lord in their eyes, in their hearts. They gave us everything they had. They did without, so we could have. A lot of you, I've had the privilege of working with several of you, and y'all know how I like to work, how I like to work hard. The first 2 days over there, we got to build a house. We got to prep one that was built, but get it ready for the lady to move in. And then the Lord, in His grace, decided He was going to knock me down because things were going really well. And He allowed me to get sick. And that was tough. For about 4 days, I had my stomach turned inside out. And long car trip. I don't know how far we went, Brian. At least 600 miles round trip, up and back.
I think it's the miles, the time.
The time and And what Brandon showed you about, there was 11 of us at one point in this compact four-wheel drive. And I'll tell you what, that was the toughest vehicle I'd ever seen in my life, because we went down roads that cows and goats probably wouldn't go down. But they fed us everywhere we went. They loved to talk about the Lord. The Lord allowed me to share my testimony a few times. And that was actually pretty easy, because a couple times it was dark, so I didn't get to see him. And they're singing, you know. They didn't have all the electronics and stuff that we had. And probably my favorite part was in the morning when we would camp out on the ground. We threw our tents down amidst those huts for several nights, and when the sun was just about to crack, they were already all outside and would start to sing praises to the Lord for being granted another day. And it was, I mean, that was my favorite part. And I wish I could have sung, you know, I'd love to have sung with them. But, and then, you know, you think you know what you want. And we were tired. It was a tough trip. We were ready to come home. And, the Lord in His grace, probably a bunch of y'all don't know this, but He allowed us not to get on the plane we were supposed to get on, because it was broke. And so He stopped that flight, put us in a really nice hotel overnight, and then there was another plane leaving the next night. And He allowed us not to get on that plane because it broke, and they pulled it back in too. But He put some men in front of Brian and Jason that through some strange circumstances brought us home through Belgium and in England. And I'm thankful for those people that He used. I hope He can use some of the things that I did and said in a small way. But, you know, you go on the other side of the world and you realize we are just people. And unfortunately, we let the busyness of our day with our just all the things just get between us and each other. And they didn't have that. And it was neat to see. It reminded me of what's important and how I need to take so many things that I deem important and just put them aside, and just remember that it's about people. It's about Lance. It's about my wife, the Palmers. Thank you for your call, Brandon, before I left, your encouraging call. I mean, that meant a lot to me. Thank you, brother. Anyway, I know some of the other guys are ready to get up here, especially Jason. So thank you, brothers, for allowing me, for putting up with me for all those days.
Well, for those of you that are visiting this morning, my name is Jason Bundick, and I get to serve as one of the elders here at Grace Bible Church. And I was thinking about this, and I wanted to greet y'all in an official Ugandan way with a Shannon Hurley kick, okay, from SOS Ministries. And so, in order for this to work, you're going to have to repeat after me, okay? Okay, you're going to have to work with me here. So, good morning.
Good morning.
No. Good morning.
Good morning.
A chew a penny.
A chew a penny.
A chew a penny.
A chew a penny.
Woo!
Woo!
There you go. Amina?
Amina.
Amen. So, you know, I got to tell you, you know, Brian had talked a little bit about wanting us to share a little bit about maybe what we learned or what we saw. So I sat down and I began to write out a few things that made some lasting memories while in Uganda. Some of them that, and again, there's a lot of pictures, there's a lot of video, maybe at a Grace 242 or something, maybe we can sit down and go through some of this and let you ask questions. But they actually have dancing lizards in Uganda. They really do. They really do. You know, that was memorable to see lizards on a wall in the church actually dancing to music. It was good. But that wasn't nearly as funny as Brian trying to play a musical instrument. That was that's true. But so we had things like that. We thinking about things of taking a bath in a bucket. That's that. Jimmy, you probably have been in some situations, and that was a challenge to take a bath out of a bucket. And I probably won't steal Brandon's glory, but there's a story with a rooster, and we actually had rooster races one morning. That was interesting, and then probably something that stood out was Noson and Clint's dinner with a chicken, and Clint will probably share some of that. But I want all of you to know probably the most challenging thing for me, you know, Acts 1:8, where it says that we're to be his witnesses in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I've always wondered, where is the uttermost part of the earth? And I think we were there. I'll be honest with you. I think we were there. But it was just a great time to go and to love and serve some of the people in Uganda. And for me, I guess one thing of the whole time we were there, the one thing that stood out to me the most that I guess I could share is the word sacrificial servanthood. Not by anything that we did, but by what they did. You're talking about a group of people that literally have nothing. Nothing. A lot of the videos that you saw, those were to really in some of the well-to-do places that we went to. The northwestern part of Uganda just is a very impoverished location. The people, they smelt bad. They were dirty. A lot of them were naked. A lot of the children, they didn't have clothes, but they gave with all that they had. And it was the first time really in my life that I was ever able to see Philippians 2:3 acted out. Do y'all know what Philippians 2:3 says? Somebody quote it for me. Yeah, yeah. And I tell you what, they did that. I would just tell you, they fed us with the intention and the attitude knowing that they gave us their very best, knowing that they would go without. They fed us knowing that they would go hungry that night. And it's challenging. It's challenging how blessed we are. How blessed we are as a nation, as a church, as individuals. God's given us an opportunity to be a blessing to many. And I just want to encourage you through the days and weeks and months ahead, pray for SOS Ministries. Pray for the Hurleys. They're the real deal. They are serving in a great way in Uganda, and lives are being changed because of it. People are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and they're happy. They're happy, and they don't have anything. They serve with joy because of what the Lord's done in their life. And so I guess really it's a challenge to us as a church as well. We have an opportunity to serve. We have an opportunity to serve here in the Brazosport area, in Brazoria County, serve our people. And, you know, there's a lot of people here that are dirty and they're smelly, but they need the Lord. And I would just encourage you, pray about what can we do as Grace Bible Church to make an impact for the gospel and for Jesus Christ here where he has us to serve. And so thank you all for your love and your prayers and your support while we were there. Thank you for loving on my family. Thank you all. Thank you. Appreciate it.
When you ask a pastor to come up and share, he always brings his Bible right in front. My name is Clint, and I serve as a student pastor here at Grace. And it was a privilege for me to be allowed the opportunity to serve in Uganda with Shannon and SOS Ministries, as well as with our team from Grace. And it was a wonderful trip. It was difficult physically and spiritually, but it was good as well. I'm reminded of a seminary student who talked about his seminary years, and he said, "It's hard, but it's good. It's hard, but it's good." And it was hard. It really was. There are many things that stuck out on the trip, but for the purpose of being brief, I want to share three quick highlights. On mission trips, I'm always reminded and encouraged to see the body of Christ at work. In Romans 1, Paul talks about being mutually encouraged from each other as he visits these believers in Rome. And it takes place between believers. It's God's, in God's grace, our team was a blessing and encouragement to SOS Ministries. We were able to be a blessing and encouragement to the people that we were able to interact with and serve. But at the same time, and even in a far greater way, they were a blessing and encouragement to us. And it's just neat to see the body of Christ at work in that way. On a personal level, my favorite part of the trip was the pastor mobilization. And it was good in many ways, and I want to share two with you specifically. One is, as we jammed into the vehicle, and someone mentioned earlier that, you know, there is an eight-passenger vehicle, and it's like eight seats. We wouldn't travel in it, you know, maybe in Lake Jackson, full, but to Houston, we'd try to get another vehicle, probably, with eight people. And we ranged from 9 to 11 folks in the vehicle at all times. And so as we jammed into the vehicle and traveled on poor roads, I was personally reminded of my own proneness to complain and grumble in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances. And this was more of an inward struggle than anything, but nonetheless, it was present in my own life. And for this, I'm grateful because it allowed me an opportunity to identify roots of sin in my own life that, by the grace of God, I can do battle with by the power of the Spirit. Romans 8:13 says that we are to put to death the deeds of the body by the power of the Spirit. And so you can pray for me that that would be true in my life. The second aspect on the pastor mobilization that was really a treat for me personally was the last day of our trip in northern Uganda as we started working our way back. But we stopped at a couple different churches and was able to witness and see Shannon encourage and rebuke sin, actually rebuke sin and encourage believers to pursue unity and love with one another. And it was just a real treat to be able to watch him do ministry with these leaders in the church, in the churches that we attended. And it was a great reminder for me personally. Also, in this, I saw Shannon and just that he was bold to speak the truth in love. He was pastoral. He was loving. And it was just what the leaders needed to hear. And just a personal reminder for me also that the Lord uses other believers in our lives to help shape us and mold us more into the image of his Son. But we have to be bold and loving and courageous to speak that truth to other people. And so personally, I pray that that would be true in my life, that I would be those things, but also that I would also be a recipient, a favorable recipient of people who speak that truth to my life, because we're striving side by side. And if we don't strive side by side, then you're by yourself. And that's not what the Christian life is about. So the other thing is that this trip was crucial for me to just be able to better understand how to specifically pray for Shannon and his family and SOS Ministries specifically. They are taking on a lot. They have a desire to minister to their local area, to the villages that surround them immediately, but also on a national basis. And just the traveling itself is very difficult. Shannon spends a lot of time away from his home. It's hard on his family. He's been given the privilege or an opportunity to expand SOS Ministries and influence within the nation of Kenya. And I think they're going to jump on that as well. And so, like, he's being stretched, and we can pray for his continued faithfulness and determination. I'm specifically reminded of Philippians chapter 3. I just want to read that real quick with you. And then I'll let Brandon jump up here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Actually, 14. Says this: "Indeed, I count everything as loss because there's surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a law, not having a righteousness that of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by all means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus."
Hi, I'm Brandon. I forgot how to say hi in Uganda. Is it build a bear, hug a bear?
No.
What was a hug?
I'm a bear. Good morning.
I'm a bear. Yeah, good morning. There you go. There were three main things that kind of stood out to me on this trip, or at least that I'll remember for the rest of my life probably. One being the children. Like, I love kids, and I think it was one of the very first days we went to northern Uganda. I like wipe something off my face and I hear this slap right next to me. There's a little kid sitting right next to me and I guess I made a slap and I turn around and did it again and he goes like that to himself. I did the other cheek and he turns around and he goes like that to himself. So I start doing all this stuff all over my, like just kind of doing all these random movements. He's like exactly mirroring me. And there's this kid right next to him that turns around and looks at him and he starts doing it. So like I get this whole line of like 20 kids are kind of sitting off to the side just kind of just following me. And just doing exactly what I was doing. I didn't have to say a word to them. They were just like following exactly what I was doing. Well, I think I was interrupting Shannon, so I took him outside and was able to start just like playing around with him. I never said one word to the kids and was able to entertain them for like 30 minutes at a time. And I think I did that like three times. It was just their love, just the way they paid attention. They could sit still for hours. Like there was like one night where we were asking Brian and Jason and Clint, all of us, they were asking these kind of questions. And the kids would just sit there for the entire time. They never moved. They didn't say a cent. They didn't make a peep. They didn't do anything. Their focus and attention was crazy. I couldn't believe I was keeping their attention without saying anything that long. But then there's just their smiles and laughs. You saw a little bit on the video. I turned around, you know, like on the video camera, you can turn around the little LCD thing. I turned around where they could see themselves. They just started cracking up laughing. I could have sat there for 30 minutes just listening to a laugh. Brian told me I had to go one time, but it was just the way they laughed and just hearing them laugh was just amazing. There was actually one time we were cleaning out mangoes, and somebody cut down a mango tree, and Shannon was not happy about that. But we were picking up the mango tree so we could build a house kind of in that area. And I start soft tossing a mango to one little kid, and then I start soft tossing another one to a little kid, and we got kind of got this like little group of soft tossing. There's just these two kids way far in the back just start pelting them at me, like playing dodgeball or whatever. I'm start trying to catch like 20 or 30 mangoes all the time. They're just throwing them all at me. And so Brian's like, well, why don't you bring them all over here and get like the mangoes that we need to move. So he brings them all over, the mangoes that we need like to get out of the way, tells them to throw them all over at me. So Brian and Jason, everybody and all the kids are all chucking mangoes at me, and trying to catch them all. I get hit in the face a couple times. And those kids could throw hard. They had really good aim. There was the second thing, which is more, it was just their generosity and, you know, the chicken story I was telling a little bit, but the amount that they gave us, like the food portions were enough to feed us 10 times over every meal. They literally gave 10 meals to us for us to eat. Like there was one time they gave us fish the last 3 days, I think. And there's literally probably 7 or 8 fish there, and there's 6 of us. Like, everybody could have a fish. And then there's chicken enough. We all had plenty of chicken and plenty of fish and some kind of mashed corn stuff that was piled this high or something like that. But just the amounts that they gave, and the servant, there's one lady, there was always somebody there to wash your hands before we ate, wash your hands after we got through eating, and clean up after us. We didn't have to do anything. They were there for us all the time. They loved us so much. It was just one thing that I'm going to remember forever, just how to serve somebody, true servanthood. When you bring somebody in your home, how to truly love them and serve them. And then the last thing was the chicken. Right at the very end, I think it was like the very last day, right before we were about to leave, one of the ladies walks in with this big rooster thing in her arms and offers to Shannon as kind of like a token of their appreciation, I guess, for us coming and just being there with them. And Shannon goes, great, we'll take it home with us. And I'm thinking, what? Taking home with us like 6 hours, or it turned out to be like 7.5 hours. But at the moment, I was like, that's crazy. Why are we taking chicken home with us? And you kind of think about it later. That was there. That was probably a year's worth pay or something like that for them. Something incredible. But they gave it to us as their token of appreciation. But anyway, he gives it to us, and Shannon takes the chicken. And we did something a little bit. And he walks over to the car and sticks it in the front seat. And like, that's where I'm sitting. Shannon's like, yep, you can just stick it between your feet or whatever. So I rode the whole way home, like 6.5 hours, with a chicken in between my legs. And there's one, we actually stopped on the way back to kind of help work out some conflict between two churches or whatever, and we stayed there for 4 hours. Well, halfway through, I walk out to go get, I don't know, it was a snack or something out of my backpack or maybe water, but I open the door, and I get something, there's a little snack out of my backpack here. It's cock-a-doodle-doo out of nowhere. I'd forgotten the chicken was there because I'd put my hat on top of it to stop pecking my leg. It just scared me to death. But there's a chicken sitting right there. But yeah, I rode home with the chicken and put it on a leash so it wouldn't, like, I think the car got kind of hot because it's 90 degrees or whatever. So I took it out and put it on a leash. And Nelson found some rope and we tied its leg up and so it wouldn't run away. And I never walked the chicken, but I did, like, the chicken had, they tied the chicken leg before we actually, like, got the chicken. And then we tied another rope so we wouldn't, like, actually have to, like, chase it anywhere and, like, pick it up. So we tied the chicken to this piece of, like, rope kind of thing, and then I would run after it, and the chicken would try to run off and just fall over on its face because it couldn't go anywhere. So it was kind of funny. Those three things were definitely the highlight of my trip.
Hi, I'm Joshua, and I had the privilege to go to Uganda. And one of the things that stuck out to me is that their love and generosity for us was, like they said, was unbelievable. And it kind of reminds me in 1 Corinthians 13:4, how it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not proud or rude, it keeps no record of wrong. And that's how they were towards us, and they gave like everything they had, and they loved us. And one thing was, like, one night when we got there, we set up our tent, and then they, like, played music, like, all the way till, like, 2 in the morning. And then they had, like, a whole, like, another worship service, and they just took it as such a privilege to praise the Lord and learn about Him. And that's one thing that we take for granted. And like our Bible is like, if we wanted a Bible, we could just go, and most people have a Bible in their house. And like when they pick up the Word of God, that's like all they do. And just to see like how they love to learn about Him, and the kids, how they like they sit there and just listen to Mr. Clinton, Mr. Jason for 30 minutes and not even move, just wanting to learn about the Lord. And then another thing is I got to see how much poverty they have, and they still love the Lord and they still want to praise Him. So thanks for praying for me while I was in Uganda.
All right, well, at this time, we're going to dismiss the kids, okay, for the next 10 minutes or so. It's just not ironic, but in God's sovereignty on Father's Day, we get to have all our kids with us, and that's kind of a neat thing. So we'll let them go with the kids there, and we're in Africa, you learn, in any country in Africa, but especially in Uganda where we were, you learn to just go with the punches. You know, and I'd prepared about 20 minutes, and we got about 10 left. So that doesn't mean I'm going to go 20 minutes, but you just got to go with what you're given. And sometimes we have a hard time to do that in the United States. We like everything just kind of, especially here with all the engineers, right? If it doesn't fit on our spreadsheet, we sometimes have a hard time. If it's not, there's no column for that. You can't do that, you know, and you can't play that game in Africa at all, as you've already heard. From the vehicle we rode in, I still say Clint's wrong. That thing, real people, you could fit 7 people. I don't know, maybe 8 kids, but if you got real people that are like halfway deep in size, 7 kids. But it's just part of it. So you got to ask yourself, why am I here? Am I here to serve them, or am I here for me? And if you don't go with the attitude, I'm here for them and for the glory of God, it could be a miserable thing. And I don't only say that for about Uganda, but I also say that about here. It's about the United States. If we're not here for the glory of God and for what others get out of it, we can have a miserable life. And like I said, I don't have time to share what I prepared as far as sermon goes, but that's okay. I'm going to give you a brief overview here, and it's going to tie into what all these guys have been sharing. Now, you've heard and you've seen a lot of things that we did in Uganda, and just a little bit of some of the things. You've heard about us building some things. We actually got the chance to build some trusses for a church building. That was in northwest Uganda, so we got to help build trusses for a church building. And they're doing it, where Jason was in here, probably still doing it like they learned it from England 300 years ago. So everything was by hand, just amazing. So we helped with some building things. We played a little soccer in the village where Shannon lives, which the village he lives in is called Kumbamwitwe, which means hit the head. That's how they took care of criminals back in the day, was they hit their head and that was it, okay? Capital punishment. Wouldn't you like that? Yeah, in Freeport, you just take care of them, hit their head, it's over, right? All right. But that's, we played soccer in the village, and we ate Ugandan food. We, like I said, crammed all these people into this one vehicle, plus the rooster. Played Ugandan instruments. They didn't have that on there, but there's a little shaker thing that they handed me one night, and I'm shaking, and the ladies I'm standing next to, their whole thing is shaking, you know, and everything's and I'm just trying to make noise, and then when I would try to shake, then it wouldn't make noise, and that didn't work out too well. But all those things we got to experience, and all those things were important for our ministry while we were in Uganda. Yet we could have done ministry without doing any of those things. We could have had a successful ministry in Uganda without playing soccer and eating their food and cramming people in vehicles and having roosters beside us and all those other things, because none of those things are essential for successful ministry. None of those things are essential for successful ministry, not only in Uganda, but also here. And I just want to remind us this morning, what is successful ministry? What is essential for successful ministry, whether we're in the Brazosport area or any place else in the world?
I love what there's things that are just that have nothing to do with culture. It's true everywhere. And there's an essential when it comes to ministry that's true everywhere, no matter what your culture is. And the guys alluded to that as they shared a little bit about what they had learned and their experiences. And I want to share just, I'm not going to read both these passages I was going to. I'll just refer to them. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn to one of them, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, right before Titus is 2 Timothy. And in this passage of Scripture, it talks about the Word of God. And I'm going to read at least 2 Timothy. The other passage is 1 Peter 1, 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. But let me read the 1 Timothy passage for us. You, however, this is Paul writing to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And the other passage in 2 Peter says, 1 Peter says something very similar to that. And from those two passages, we see what is essential for successful mission or successful ministry. It's the Word of God. And that goes beyond all culture because it's from God and transcends everything. So we could have gone and done all those other things, but if we didn't have the Word of God, our time there to be an encouragement, Shannon SOS Ministries, which is Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries, would have been worthless. So what? Big deal. It would have made no difference in their lives if we didn't go with the Word of God. And I just want to show you just two things here that show you how essential the Word of God is in our lives here and in people's lives all over the world. And these two passages point out two things. One is God's Word is essential for new birth. God's Word is essential for new birth. If you look there in the passage in 2 Timothy, it says, in verse 15, it said, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That word sacred writings there is actually speaking about the Old Testament. And that what Paul's saying here is that the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, what's contained there gives you the wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And often people think about the Old Testament. Well, you know, the way they were saved in the Old Testament, they took all these sacrifices and they killed them and they went through all these rituals and stuff like that, and that's what saved them. And if you believe that about the Old Testament, that's wrong. People that are saved or made right with God or given new birth the same way in the Old Testament as they are in the New. And that's the key phrase there, through faith in Jesus Christ. It's always been faith in Jesus Christ. There's no one way anybody's ever been made right with God outside of faith through Jesus Christ. It begins in Genesis chapter 3, and it teaches that all the way through the Scripture. It's never changed. They believed in what was to come, the Messiah who would come and die for sin. We believe in the Messiah who came and died for sin. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is essential for salvation and new birth. And we were reminded of this in as we were looking in John 3 for a few weeks before I left for Uganda. But in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, this is the Old Testament, speaking about the new birth, all right? It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So the Old Testament tells us that we are made right with God through faith in Christ. We are given a new heart. The new birth has always been taught in the Scripture. And the context here in our passage in 2 Timothy also points to these Scriptures, these sacred writings, also include the New Testament. I don't have time to show you how all that works out, but it's also the New Testament points to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's Word is essential for new birth. And that passage I was going to read for you in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Look what it says there about the Word of God. For you've been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that through the living and enduring Word of God. In order for someone to have new birth, they have to have the Word of God. That's the agent that God uses to bring about new birth in the hearts of people. It's always been that way, and it always will be that way. So in Uganda, when we went to Uganda, if we didn't have the Word of God, no new birth. If they don't have the Word of God, there's no new birth. There's no people made right with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ without the Word of God. And same thing here. People will not be made right with God outside of the use of the Word of God. We can play soccer with people, and I'm saying we should. We should build relationships. We should do things that gather people. We should build relationships with our neighbors, the people we work with. But if we don't bring the Word of God in the conversation, they won't come to know Christ. They won't be born again. Because our words can't bring new life, but God's Word can, right? Thankfully, they can. So, and also it teaches in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So how do people get faith? They have to hear what? The Word. They have to hear the Word. It's essential to salvation. It's essential to new birth. And we can never forget that. It's elementary. It's foundational. We can never get away from this very fact. So my question is, who are you sharing the Word of God with so that they can hear how they can be made right with God? They can hear how God gives new birth through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second essential about God's Word is God's Word is essential for growth. And in verse 16, in our verse 16 and 17 in the passage in 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable, meaning it's useful, it's practical. And it says four things: for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We learn about who God is and about who he wants us to be and who he wants to make us into by his Word. If we're going to grow, it has to be through his Word. If we're going to learn about him, it's through his Word. And then the other thing is, it's the practical benefit is for reproof or rebuke. Now, we don't like to hear that, right? So what's that mean? It means to refute or rebuke sin. And we like to say, hey, how about that person? Right? We want to rebuke sin in their life. No, it's meant to rebuke sin in our own life. As we look at our life and say, oh, what does the Word of God say? And we line up with that and we say, oh, I'm not there. And Clint was honest enough to say there's some things in his own life there on the trip that he had to examine his heart and say, I need to grow. And if we're all honest and went on that trip, say the same thing. Selfishness, pride, discontentment. It begins. Difficult things begin to show you your heart. I think the greatest question you can ever ask when you go on a trip like that or you're ministering anywhere is what did you learn about yourself? Because God wants to show us about ourselves, and he does it through the Word of God. Wrong doctrine or wrong teaching will lead to wrong living. But right teaching shows us our sin and gives us hope to overcome. And that's the next thing, correction. The word correction is a word that means to make something that's crooked straight. To make something crooked straight. So the Word God shows us our crookedness. All right, so when we saw a chiropractor on there, here's a spiritual chiropractor, the Word of God, it straightens us back up. Isn't that good news? That causes us to grow. If your spine's all crooked, it's hard to grow right. But if it gets straightened out, we grow a lot better. In a spiritual way, it's kind of like lifting weights in some ways. You got to tear the muscle to build the muscle. So the rebuking part of the Scripture tears, and the correcting part builds. That's what the Scripture does. And the fourth practical benefit from the Word of God in this passage is it's training in righteousness. And it means that this training leads us to righteousness in our thought, in our speech, in our behavior. John Stott says of these four things that the Scripture brings to us to help us grow is the first two, teaching, reproof, deal with belief, and the last two, correction and training, deal with action. So what do we believe, and what does it lead to? Action. And when we expose ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God, the reproving, the correcting, the training in righteousness, we experience growth. And the other passage we were going to look at in 1 Peter, I'm going to skip this passage right there. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So through the pure milk of the Word, through the Word of God, we grow in respect to salvation. Now, the word salvation can have many meanings, all right? You could be saved from the penalty of sin, that's justification. You can be saved from the power of sin, sanctification. And you'll be saved from the presence of sin is glorification. And this context is speaking about sanctification, or making our behavior more like Christ. That's what it means, sanctification, to make us more holy in our behavior, in our thought process. And that's what it's talking about. So through the Word of God, He makes us more like Jesus. We grow through that Word. Now, even the word here, pure milk, reminds us how babies grow, right? No milk, no growth. Okay? Whether just no milk, no growth. No food, no growth physically. We all know that if we're going to be able to function properly in a physical way, we have to take in a certain amount of nutrients every day to be able to function properly. All of us do. And when we don't, we can tell the difference if we're not taking proper nutrition in. And in a spiritual sense, if we're not taking in proper nutrition, we can't grow. So no spiritual food, no spiritual growth. Just to tie this in and share one of the highlights for me on our trip, lots of them, was first of all, my son got to go with me. And to hear my son give his testimony to these people in Uganda was huge. Another thing that was a highlight that had to do with Joshua was we were traveling back on our 7, 8, 9 hour trip on roads that if you didn't have a real four-wheel drive, not Texas look like four-wheel drivers, but real four-wheel drives, all right? Not these big trucks that just look like they're tough, but real four-wheel drive kind of stuff. You're going down and you're just beating like this. You're just shaking the whole time. 9 hours like that, cramped together, like, I mean, just luggage falling on your head. I mean, all the way back like this, all right? Just wearing you out. We're on the way back. Shannon just began to ask questions, and he just asked Joshua and Brandon, as young men, encouraging and exhorting them as young men, he said, if you want to grow, the only way you're going to grow as a young man in Christ is if you're in the Word of God every day. You can't grow without the Word of God. So he asked him, are you in the Word every day? Whew. Silence came across the car, you know. And both of them were honest. No, I'm not. And Shannon goes, I want to encourage you. The greatest thing you can do right now as a young man, if you really want to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is be in His Word every single day. And I want to pass that exhortation on not only to the kids in here, but all of us adults. No food, no growth. And if we want to grow and be more like Christ in the way that we love our wives, the way you love your husbands, the way that we parent, the way we interact with people as employees, employers, as neighbors, as friends, if we want to grow and experience all the joy God has for us in all those things, it cannot come apart from the Word of God. We need to be reminded that the Word of God is essential. It's essential for salvation, for new birth. It's essential for growth. We can't set it aside. It's not an option. Soccer balls are an option. Eating Ugandan food, that's an option. Playing Ugandan instruments, that's an option. They are very important, but they're not essential. But the Word of God is essential. And I was just reminded of that, because that's what's making change in Uganda and all around the world, is the Word of God. It's bringing about new birth. It's bringing about growth in the people. So I want to exhort us here at Grace Bible Church to remember that the Word of God is essential. Is that new truth? No. But it's foundational. If we forget the foundation, our house can collapse, right? So let's keep on, keeping on, being in the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, and allowing the Spirit of God to allow the Word of God impact every area of our life. All right? Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time this morning. Lord, this is obviously different from what we're used to, but Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have to meet, to worship you, Lord, to hear what you're doing in other parts of the world, and yet, Lord, your agent to bring about change through your word and the power of the Holy Spirit is the same everywhere. And Lord, I pray we'd allow your word to richly dwell within us so that it may impact all parts of our life. Lord, give us a heart for the Brazosport area. Lord, you've placed us here for a reason. We don't live in Uganda, and there's a reason for that. Because, Lord, you've given us this great mission field here where people need to know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, how their sins can be forgiven and they be made right with you. But we love you and we thank you for our time together this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.